That is a good message. So many times we leave the information we have in the hymnal. That would be another writing God has provided for us to get through times. We all just said, wow, we had a great time with the family. We get to experience the Holy Spirit's presence. And people have taken time to write these things down. Shame on the church for not spending more time on different hymns. I hope we have a familiar one coming at the end. I think it's going to be familiar. But I don't, rely on those old-time favorites that we sing. We have 805 hymns to choose from, and just about every church on the planet chooses 13. That carries over to the contemporary music, too. I have fellowship in churches where they have 8 songs they sing every month. There's so much valuable information in the hymns that we have access to. I should have brought the book up and read those. I think verse 2 was pretty powerful. Verse 4, we already experienced and put into practice. But too often we have to fight through the lyrics and the notes to try, and then we miss the message. So we're probably going to sing that hymn again in the near future to make it more familiar. I don't know about you, but I have enjoyed the service up to this point. It's been so free and spontaneous. So throw your watches out. And let's just worship God. Because that's what we came to do, right, church? We are here to worship, to learn, and then to go into the world and proclaim. At least that's what I've been called to do. And that's what I'm calling you to do. But only God can do the work in and through you. And in order for Him to do that, we must be available. So for about a year now, I've been preaching to get us focused on Christ. I should just throw my sermon out and then just begin over here and go around and say, who is or what is Christ to you? Do we even ponder that? Oh, we can do the Sunday school answer. He's my best friend. He's my go-to guy. But who is Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you truly do call each human to be part of your family. And you have given us a free will to choose or not choose. Father, I pray that you would help us now to learn how important it is to choose you, not just for today, but for eternity. God, I ask that you would empower me now to deliver this message simply and clearly, that it would be heard, taken from this place and put into practice. And for these things, we give you the praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you know God has called you to be different. Yes? We should not be like the world in our attitudes and in our actions. And this morning, my hope is to encourage you as you earnestly seek to change your focus on life, to stand firm in the attitudes you are actively pursuing to take. Are you doing that, church? Earnestly seeking. I talked about that last week. And now we want to pursue taking the next step. Do you really want to be the way you are? Or do you want to experience more? Sarah's testimony was, I'm so glad we can feel the Holy Spirit with us. Some of you may be familiar with the words of Romans 12:2, which says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. These are the words I have carried throughout my life. I was probably 12 or 17 when I first heard them. And then through my life up to this point, that is what I have quoted. But someone has translated Romans 12 this way, making what Paul is saying so clear. Listen to this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This is key. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Why would we want to go any direction but His? And yet my nature says, walk this way. I have to purpose to walk this way. Some Christians live as this verse is optional. Their actions or inactions are no different than what the world says is right. But God says is unacceptable. Have nothing to do with it. Turn the other way. And we leave that power that someone has said, I'm glad we have the power, on the table. True followers of Christ are meant to be different. Different in the way we live. Different in the way we act. Different in the way we think. Our wants, our needs, our desires should come second. Our first, number one thing is to keep God first in most things. No, in all things, yes? Seeking His good, perfect plan and purpose that He has set in place for us to live. Do you realize He has a plan and a purpose for your life? Do you really think His plan is to have you walking around miserable? No! The world should see a difference in us. We're not to be bound by the sinful desires. We're not to disobey God's call and purpose for our lives. God has called us to live differently. This is not a suggestion. This is His will, plan, and purpose for our lives. The Holy Spirit who has been given to us at salvation is able to work in and through us to bring about change. We have to allow it. I don't want to. I like this. Are you nuts? There is so much more. God has called us to live lives that are holy and acceptable to Him. This is a good part of the sermon because it's from God's Word. Everything up to this point has been me gassing. Listen to God's Word. Galatians 5:1 says, It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Listen. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This is part of the transformation. Let go. Let God take it. Whatever you're holding on to, cast it off. When we come to Christ, we are freed from the consequences and the burdens of our sin. And some of us have experienced it. We say, I'm so glad the Holy Spirit. We're free from the punishment our sin deserves because Jesus has paid the price for our freedom. Is this not what we just celebrated last week at communion? Did you take advantage of that and say, Yahoo! Are you walking in new strength and power? Having this freedom doesn't mean we're free to live our life however we want. Our daily lives should bring honor and glory to the one who has died to set us free. Who is Jesus to you? The world, that would be the people walking in the darkness, thinks that what we believe about God, about sin, about salvation, about what God's Word says, is pointless. But we know the truth. We know the truth. Christ has died to set us free. The foundation of our faith is Jesus, and Jesus alone. There's a good chance the world may attack our faith. Maybe tomorrow. They'll pay no attention to our opinions or what we think. They're going to think of us, where do you go? As being crazy. We're crazy to believe God's word and follow His ways. The truth is, we're called to be different. Belief in Jesus, belief in what God's word says is true, are the foundations of our faith. Yes? We must stand firm in that which we say we believe. We must stand firm in the faith we possess. This is the gift. Hang on to it. We're to proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. We must share the truth of the gospel with those who are headed to an eternity in hell. Is heaven or hell? And the choice is yours. And there's people that don't know. They have a choice. But who's going to tell them? Hopefully the first five houses can hear the sound of my voice and their window is open just enough that they're hearing God's word, because the truth of God's word is it doesn't return empty. It accomplishes what He set it out to do. And He chooses to use people like me and you to do it. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, specifically the church he planted, to encourage them to stand firm in their faith, to stand firm on the truth. Listen to Galatians 1, 6 through 10. Just four verses. This is Paul speaking. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. This is the part that you need to pay attention to. As we've already said, so he's saying something he already said, so I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. I'm going to preach the truth of God's word because I don't want to come close to God's curse. You can believe what I'm saying because it's from God's word. But you should be putting this stuff into practice because there are consequences. It's called hell. He goes on to say, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Are you different from the world? Do they know it? There are people who had heard the truth of the gospel, but instead of standing firm and following the truth, they were wandering away and believing the lies. I feel for Paul. I mean, he had taught these people the truth. They had responded to the gospel. Yeah. And they accepted Jesus as their Savior. But now, some of those who responded in faith were no longer standing firm. They were fooled into following the words of men who denied the message of the cross. Salvation through grace, through faith. That's the message. They had allowed the foundation of their faith to crumble and to fall away. They refused to stand firm. In Galatians 3:1, Paul writes, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing. I love that sentence. You know, Paul's there, he's going, just tell me this one thing. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by what you heard? Are your works doing anything for you? Or are you believing what this crazy idiot's saying? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by the flesh? Two questions the Galatians needed to answer. We need to answer. The truth of the gospel is God has completed His work of salvation to save us from our sin. That's what I believe. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ ascended. Christ is coming again. This is what we believe. Yes? It's the foundation of our faith. We profess Jesus Christ as Lord by repenting and turning to Him. And we're forgiven. We're freed from the burden of sin. Do you realize? I wish the church would teach we don't have to sin. Satan tempts. And what God's Word says is we're obedient to our Father. And there's a Father in heaven, and there's a Father of lies. And in our nature, we want to be obedient. To which Father do you choose to be obedient? I'm good. I'm trying. This truth will never change. But we must. And then we stand firm. Have you taken the action? Take the step. Now stay there. Paul was astonished at those who had been brought from darkness to light. Those who had repented. Those who had said, Jesus is Lord. Were not standing firm. They were wandering away from the One who had died to set them free. The Message Bible paraphrases Paul's words in Galatians 1, 6 through 10 quite poignantly. You need to pay attention because the wording is off. It has your attention. Listen to the message. I can't believe your fickleness. How easily you have turned traitor to Him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. It's not a minor variation, you know. It's completely other. An alien message. No message. A lie about God. Those who are provoking this agitation among you are turning the message of Christ up on its head. Take a moment and answer these questions. Paul's asking them. I'm going to ask them again in the 21st century, 20th century. I don't know what we're living in, but a lot of years later. Have you become fickle in the way you follow Christ, or are you standing firm? Now, fickle is defined as one quick to change one opinions or allegiance, insincere, not loyal. That's fickle. Are you blown and tossed by the ways of the world? Think about that. Are you copying the behavior and customs of those walking in the darkness? Or letting God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think? Think about that. Are you daring to be different by standing firm on the truth of God's Word? If you're earnestly going to actively pursue to live the way God intended, these questions must be addressed. You don't have to like me. I'm the teacher everybody hates. He asks hard questions. But until we acknowledge them, we're going to remain the same. We need to let go, let God, and become the one He created us to be, to become the church He wants us to be, to become the mom, the dad, the sister, the brother, the aunt, the uncle, the grandmom. Oh, the great-grandmom. Oh, no. The grandmom. The great-grandmom. And I say that because there's mostly women here. Church is for girls. Now, where's the men? Yes. In this world, there are some people who are more willing to trust what they can see instead of having faith in what they cannot see. For some of the Galatians, trusting and believing in the grace of God wasn't enough. They were being led to believe that there was some work that they had to do to receive salvation. And if that's your thought process, how's that going for you? Paul wanted the people of Galatia to stand firm on the knowledge it was God's grace and God's grace alone that made them right with God. There's not one thing we can do except believe that will make us right with God. Nothing. I can't preach enough sermons. I can't give enough money. I can't pray enough. It's a gift. It's a work of God. Our salvation is the work of God. Some may say something like this. Well, I remember when I found Jesus. For quite some time, I remember saying, I touched the hem of Jesus' garment till I understood and realized actually His hem touched me. We don't find Him. We don't touch Him. He came to find us and to touch us. He came to rescue you and me. He came to call us to Himself. And everyone who responds to His call is what? Free? A new creation. I like that. New creation. Is forgiven. Is saved. Are you saved from an eternal hell? Because that's what we're talking about here. Life? Death. Eternal life? Eternal death. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13-15, Paul says, as for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers, loved by the Lord. We're always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, brothers, people, everyone, here's the instruction. With all these things in mind, dear brothers, stand firm. Keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter. Stand firm. Hold on to the truth. God chose to save you. God called you. You responded, I hope. Through Jesus, your Heavenly Father, God, provided a way to be saved. Jesus came to give His life to pay the price for your salvation, to restore your relationship with God. He came to lead you from darkness to light. Jesus came to save you from death and hell. His purpose for coming to earth was to give eternal life and a guaranteed place in heaven for all who believe and trust in Him. If you're in Christ, stand firm because God has chosen you. Listen to 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Maybe you want to write that one down, 1 Peter 2:9. In Christ, you can stand firm. Not in your own strength. Someone said that. at the beginning of our time. But in God's strength and His power, 2 Peter 1:3 tells us, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. There's some mighty powerful words right there. Don't leave them on the table. Do you realize He has chosen you? I called you by name. He's called you. He's freed you. He saved you. And because all God has done for you, you can stand firm in His power and in His strength. It's for all these things we should be praising God. Yes? Yes. I was, now I'm not. Thank you, Jesus. There's no doubt at some point in all of our lives, each one of us is going to experience difficulties, trials, temptations, even disappointments. But in every situation, you can stand firm in Christ. Whatever you're facing today, Jesus will carry you through, provided you're standing firm in Him. Listen to the instruction of Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. We need to have our focus on God and allow Him to continually renew our mind and transform us. The byproduct is we become different in the way we think, the way we act, the way we live. So I dare you to be different and stand firm on that which you say you believe. Father, I thank You for the time in Your Word. I thank You that through it, we're equipped. God, teach us to stand firm on the promises of Your Word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.